question is, how do we outdo last week? The celebration, the well-done Christmas pageant by our youngsters. What a wonderful job done by Holly and Amy and Alyssa and others. Katie was right in there too, helping to steer it along. But we had children of all ages with us, and each gave their gift to us and to the Lord of recreating that wonderful time that took place in the little town of Bethlehem. We are still in anticipation of Jesus' return to the Mount of Olives. The first candle was lit as a sign of hope. Last week, the second purple candle was lit, and that symbolizes love. This week, the rose candle on this third Sunday of Advent. Well, those who are more Anglo-Catholic would call this Gaudete Sunday. What does Gaudete mean? It means joy, rejoice. And so this third candle is a sign of joy. Some churches will even change the hangings from purple to a rose color. Well, if you don't have rose-colored vestments or hangings, you go with the purple. And so we're purple. But our candle is rejoicing. Our candle is a sign of joy. At our celebration next Sunday morning at 10:30, it will be the final purple candle that will be lit, and that will signify the end of Advent, because later that evening, of course, is our Christmas celebration. In the center, oh, did I tell you what the fourth candle is? It's peace, shalom. And in the center is going to be a white candle. That will be lit at the later services, because signifying that Christ has come. He's come into the world, and therefore we are celebrating. There will be candles out the front door in those little white bags called luminaries, so that we can line the walk as you come in. It's such a blessed time. One of the ministers in town said to me, "You're doing three services on Sunday? What, are you Catholic?" I said, "Yeah, but with a little C." Hey, you can't close out Advent and just let it drift away. You've got to have the service that signifies the readings and everything. Will not be Christmas, it will be Advent. Just understand that. It's amazing, because on Christ's arrival, we will be celebrating hope, love, joy, and peace. Well, today's Holy Gospel reading, we find the followers of John the Baptist, who we know was sent to prepare the way for Jesus, as foretold in Isaiah. Coming to him. These disciples are coming to John, and they act like he should be jealous of what Jesus is doing. He's over on the other side of the Jordan, and he's baptizing. You're the Baptist. They must have been sure that they chose the right horse in that race, and that John's ministry would be endless, not knowing that shortly after this, John would be put in prison and beheaded by Herod. But John, being the man that he is, he reassures them God's plan is going just as he wants, and that Jesus is God's chosen one, and that John's work is a supporting role. He's like the best man at a wedding. Very few people go to a wedding to see the best man, unless you're his mother. Very few people go to see the maid of honor or the matron of honor, unless you're family. Wow. They come to see the bride and groom, who are being joined forever in the eyes of God. And John uses this illustration because it's biblical. In the tradition of that day, the Messiah was seen in the Old Testament and the traditions as the one who would make Israel his bride. And therefore, he's the bridegroom. I have a question for you. What's the role of the best man at a wedding? Think about it. What's he supposed to do? Just stand there and look pretty? Waiting for the bride to come down? No, he's there. His job is to love and support the groom. But there's more. One of the most important roles of the best man and the maiden matron of honor is to be a witness. They have to sign a document saying that they agree with the promises that were made by these two. Well, I decided to go out and check the Merriam-Webster dictionary, which says, a witness, an attestation of a fact or event, a testimony. Second is one that gives evidence, specifically the one who testifies in a cause or before a judicial tribunal. Third, one asked to be present at a transaction so as to be able to testify to its having taken place. It's making sense so far, right? Fourth, one who has personal knowledge of something. And the fifth is in two parts. Something serving as evidence or proof, signing for, and the 5B, public affirmation by word or example of usually religious faith or conviction. Now, many times I hear one of these wedding witnesses say that they're just standing up for the bride or the groom, lending their support. Well, that might be true, helping calm nerves, taking care of last-minute details, making sure that they both have plenty of Kleenex, holding the rings. But legally, they're there and they're present to testify what took place. In agreement that those two people made their promises, the man and the woman made promises before God and to each other. Well, the followers of John the Baptist said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he's baptizing, and everyone is going to him. And John replied, A man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. There's that testifying again. Not only did John testify to them, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. But he also declared as a testimony previously, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Now, I just want to remind you that the word Christ here is a Greek word, Christos, which means Messiah or anointed one of God. Just wanted to let you know that. And many times people say they think Christ is Jesus' last name. No, it doesn't work that way. It's an adjective describing who he is. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the Christ. What's troubling to me is that these followers of John the Baptist were all in an uproar. They were upset about the fact that the man who John testified about was baptizing, and even worse, people were leaving and going to follow him. Now, apparently they did not get the message that John was giving them. That Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so he makes the connection for them to the bridegroom to seal the deal. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him. He's full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less. In his saying this, he's alerting his followers that he was sent by God for the purpose of going before. And now, in effect, was going to be taking a back seat and letting the one that God sent to be the Messiah and Savior take the reins. Whether or not he knew that he would soon be imprisoned and beheaded, executed, we don't really know. But he knew that it was time for the bridegroom, Jesus, to move to the forefront. It's important to know that at that time there were many self-professed prophets and messiahs whose life and teaching are not from God. And many of them were competing with Jesus and with John, and even with the early church. Just read the book of Acts about magicians who came forward and thought that they were, prophets and healers. And they were competing for the eyes, minds, and hearts of both the Jews and the Gentiles. In John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle John wrote, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Today is Rose or Gaudete Sunday, a message of joy. The hard reality that we have to face is that there are some who, even though they hear the message of Jesus and salvation, refuse to hear it, and they want to take a different road. The end of the road for them is wrath. Not because God's a tyrant or a bully, but because earth and all that there is here on earth will corrupt and decay. But anyone who receives his word, who accepts that God has spoken truly through his Son, Jesus, is given the Holy Spirit through him who is pouring out his love into the world. Such a person already has within himself or herself the life that, like the Son, comes from heaven. Earlier, in that very same third chapter of John, remember this is John 3, 20 to 30, or 22 to 30, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling party of the temple, came to Jesus and asked him how one could be born again. And Jesus told him about being born through water and the Holy Spirit. And that seemed to go right over Nicodemus's head. Jesus made it clearer for him to understand by telling him these words: "Please don't stop after the first verse. Keep listening. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." He didn't stop there. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." "This is the verdict," Jesus said. "Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he's done has been done through God." Now, what's the truth? Jesus told us on the night before he died. John 14, 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." It all boils down to one thing: believing in the Son of Man or not. Darkness or light. Smoking or non-smoking. For eternity. Think about that. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, let us always remember that all the festivities that are around us are very, very nice, and they're wonderful fellowship, but they don't get you to heaven. That can only come by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, and that in him and only in him comes eternal life. O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.